Thank you so much for that special music. Blessed Harmonies. Yes, we always enjoy their music and their praise to our God and Lord. Today we have our part six of my sermon series is Jesus, Your Lord and Savior. And today we're going to be dealing with the second T of stewardship. And as we have explored in the last few sermons, we've seen the biblical truth that Jesus is not only our Savior, but He is also our Lord. And while we at times gladly accept the fact that Jesus is our Savior because He forgives us and gives us eternal life, far fewer are willingly wanting to surrender to Him as Lord, allowing Him to rule every single area of our life. But true discipleship means that we're embracing both His Lordship and the fact He's our Savior. So that leads us to our second T of our stewardship. Last time we dealt with trust, now we're going to deal with truth. And truth is living by God's Word. But before we discuss the truths God has entrusted to His church, we must first answer a much deeper question, a question that even Pilate himself asked Jesus when Jesus was on trial. What is truth? That question should be asked by each and every one of us today. You see, Pilate stood face to face with Jesus Christ as he heard the accusations against him. He had listened carefully to Jesus' words. Jesus made it clear that his kingdom is not a part of this world, nor is it established by military force or political power. Instead, he declared that for this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth, and everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Then Pilate responded with one of the most famous questions in history: what is truth? It is remarkable that Pilate asked the question while truth himself was standing in front of him. Pilate was looking into the face of Jesus, yet he could not recognize that he was the truth. His question is still being asked today. In our postmodern world, and some people are saying post-Christian world, some people are saying your truth is your truth, and my truth is my truth. Society tells us that truth changes with culture, with opinion, and with personal feelings. Also in his book, The Death of Truth, Dennis McCollum said the following: relativism says that truth isn't fixed by outside reality, but is decided by a group or individual for themselves. Truth isn't discovered, but manufactured. Truth is ever-changing, but not only in insignificant matters of taste or fashion, but in crucial matters of spirituality, morality, and reality itself. In other words, truth is relative to one's experience, to one's opinion, to one's ideas, and truth is not absolute. But truth is absolute. Jesus teaches something different, completely different, that truth is not determined by public opinion. Truth is not established by a majority vote. Truth does not change with time. Truth is found in God Himself and in His Word. The Bible repeatedly declares that God is the source of all truth. When Moses was up on the mountain and God was displaying His glory, God told Moses in Exodus 34:6, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth. And in Deuteronomy 32, verse 4, he declares that He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all His ways are justice. a God of truth and without injustice, righteous and upright is He. Everything God does is founded on truth because His very character is truth. David understood this and prayed in Psalm 25, verse 5, and then verse 10, when he said, "Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth to such as keep his covenant and his testimonies." What is God's covenant? It's the Ten Commandments. As long as you are in his will and doing his will, you are in his truth. Truth is not merely something we learn. It is the pathway upon which we walk. Again, David prayed in Psalm 43, verse 3, "Oh, send your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your tabernacle." If we abide in him and his word abides in us, we will be able to go on his holy hill and to his tabernacle, his dwelling place. Notice that God's truth leads us closer to his presence. Truth never pulls us away from God, but always draws us nearer to him. The New Testament reveals that truth is not only found in God's character, but it is also perfectly revealed in his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus declared in John 14, verse 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus did not simply teach the truth. He is the truth. Later, he prayed for his disciples in John 17, verse 17, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." You see, the Bible is not merely a collection of inspiring stories of the patriarchs and of the nation of Israel from the Old Testament times. It is not even just the great stories of Jesus and his healing miracles. But the Bible is the standard for which every doctrine, every teaching, every tradition, and every experience must be tested, because it is the truth of God's and his words. Every single word of God is truth. And that cannot be shaken. Jesus also promised to us in John 8, verse 32, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Notice that truth brings freedom. Freedom and not bondage. It frees us from deception. It frees us from sin. It frees us from fear. It frees us from spiritual confusion. This is why Satan has always attacked the truth of God's words. If he cannot destroy the Bible, he seeks to distort it. If he cannot eliminate truth, he mixes truth with error. That's why we must stand guard and be sure to know the words of God for yourselves. Otherwise, you might be shaken and moved if you don't stand on the truth, on the Word of God. This brings us to an important responsibility that God has entrusted to his remnant church. As Seventh-day Adventists, we do not claim to possess exclusive ownership to God. There are sincere Christians in other churches who love God and seek him faithfully. Salvation has always been by grace through faith in Christ alone. However, we do believe that God has restored precious biblical truths in these last days and has called his end-time people, the Seventh-day Adventist Church, to proclaim these end-time truths to the world. These truths are not ours because we invented them. They are God's truths because they are taught in his word. Among these are the Seventh-day Sabbath, inviting us to rest a full 24-hour day and reminding us that God is our Creator and our Redeemer. The biblical teaching about the state of the dead, protecting people from spiritual deception and spiritualism. The soon and literal second coming of Jesus, giving hope to a troubled world. The heavenly ministry of Christ and the investigative judgment. The three angels' messages. The perpetuity of God's law and the Ten Commandments. The call to worship the Creator in preparation for Christ's soon return, and so much more. These are not merely denominational doctrines. These are biblical truths entrusted to God's people as a blessing to the world and as a way to call people back to God. Yet knowing truth is not enough. Truth must transform us. In Proverbs 12, verse 22, it reminds us that lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truthfully are His delight. God desires truthful people because they reflect His character. Jesus said in John 3, 21, "He who does the truth comes to the light that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God." Notice that he didn't simply say, "He who knows the truth," but he said, "He who does the truth." Truth is something we practice. Jesus also told the woman at the well in John 4, 24, "God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth." True worship is never based on emotion or tradition. Genuine worship, genuine Christian experience is grounded in God's revealed truth and empowered by the Spirit of God. The Apostle Paul warned the Galatian believers in Galatians 3, verse 1, "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth?" That tells us that we need to walk in the truth and not in the lies of this world and into a deception that it sells to us as truth. Truth is not relative. Truth is absolute and is found in God's Word and in Jesus Christ. Even sincere believers can be led away from biblical truth and they're not founded and grounded on the Word of God. Jesus gives us even a stronger warning in 1 John 1:6 when he says that if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and we do not practice the truth. That evidence shows to us that truth has taken root in our hearts and is not merely a doctrine, but it is lived in our lives because we love Christ. As Christians, we should never be satisfied with simply being people who know the truth. God calls us to be people who live the truth. Truth should shape our worship. Truth should shape our families. Truth should shape our business practices. Truth should shape our speech. Truth should shape our priorities. Truth should shape our witness. When Jesus is truly our Lord, truth becomes more than just information that we treasure. Truth becomes transformational in our lives. This is when we need to ask ourselves an important question. Do I merely know the truth, or has the truth changed my life? For the greatest evidence that Jesus is both our Savior and our Lord is not simply that we understand biblical truth, but that we joyfully surrender our lives to the one who said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." As faithful stewards, we must search the truth, obey the truth, live the truth, and share the truth. We also understand that the truth of God's Word does not belong to us. It belongs to God. He has entrusted it to us to preserve it, to live it, and to proclaim it until Christ returns. Paul described the church in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, as the pillar and ground of the truth. Think about the imagery. A pillar supports something precious. A foundation keeps a structure from collapsing. God has entrusted His church with the sacred responsibility of upholding His truth before a watching world and a watching universe. The question is not whether God has the truth or that God is the truth. The question is whether we are being faithful as God's stewards with the truths He has entrusted to us before the world and before the universe. There are four responsibilities every Christian steward has regarding the truth. And that is, number one, we need to guard the truth. Every generation faces attacks upon God's truth ever since the Garden of Eden. Satan's first lie was an outright denial of God and a distortion of His words when he said to Eve, "Has God indeed said?" The enemy has never changed his strategy. If he can cause people to question God's words, he can eventually lead them away from doing His will. The Apostle Paul recognized this danger. He urged Timothy in 1 Timothy 6, verse 20, "O Timothy, guard what was committed to your trust." And you may say, this has only been entrusted to the leaders of God's church, but that is wrong. Every single aspect of your Christian life has been entrusted to you to guard and to protect and defend before the world. Again, he wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1, 13 to 14, "Hold fast the pattern of sound words, that good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit." Notice that Paul speaks of truth as a sacred trust. Today, there are many voices competing for our attention. Some say God's law has been abolished. Others deny the literal creation week, including many pastors. Some reject Christ's heavenly ministry. Others deny the authority of Scripture or redefine biblical morality to fit modern culture. But God's truth does not change because society changes. God never changes. Isaiah 40 verse 8 says, "The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God stands forever." Our responsibility is not to edit the word of God, but to guard the word of God. As Seventh-day Adventists, God has entrusted us with precious biblical truths: the seven-day Sabbath, the sanctuary message, the three angels' messages, the non-immortality of the soul, the health message, the soon return of Christ, and so much more. But these truths are not badges of superiority over other people. They are sacred responsibility given to us so we can share with others and defend before the world. God did not give us truth so we can boast about what we know. He gave us truth so we can faithfully preserve it and lovingly share it with others. That brings us to the second point, which is to grow in the truth. Guarding truth is not enough. Truth is never intended to remain merely in our minds. It must continually shape our hearts. Peter encourages believers in 2 Peter 3:8 to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Notice that he says that we have to grow. Spiritual growth never stops. If you stop, you're actually decreasing and declining. A Christian who stops growing does not only become spiritually stagnant, you spiritually decline. Jesus said in John 17, 17, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." Sanctification, we understand it to be a lifelong process. Every time we open God's word with a humble heart, the Holy Spirit teaches us something new, even from the same passage we might have read before. How many of you are reading the scripture now through the whole Bible? Okay, some of you are. Keith and I, we encouraged you at the beginning of the year to read through the Bible. And I hope you have taken that challenge to read through. Myself, right now, I'm in the book of Nehemiah. And I'm sure you're probably somewhere in there too. And every single time I read all through the Old Testament, there's something new that pops up. And I have so many things underlined, and things that I did not underline, now they pop up. Even the things that I did underline and I put a different note beside it, something else come up. Because as you grow with God, so does your understanding of the truth. Don't put off spending time with Jesus because something else more important is taking your attention. Spend time with God. Spend time daily. You see, through the reading of God's words, the Holy Spirit can comfort us when we read His promises. Sometimes He convicts us of our sins. Sometimes He corrects us of what we're doing wrong. Sometimes He challenges us to surrender another area of our lives. Truth is not simply information. Truth should be and is a part of your transformation. This is why we must never become satisfied with yesterday's experience. We cannot live today on last week's devotional life, or last month's devotional life, or last year. We have to eat daily the bread of life, the Word of God. We cannot depend on our parents' faith or our grandparents' convictions. Each of us must seek God personally through daily prayer and Bible study. The Bereans were called more noble because they searched the Scriptures daily to determine whether Paul and what he preached was true. Imagine that. Even the Apostle Paul expected his listeners to verify everything by Scripture. How much more I expect you to verify everything I say by Scripture? Don't take my words for granted. Search the Scriptures daily. How much more we should examine every sermon, every book, every podcast, every YouTube video, every religious teaching by the words of God. The Bible must always remain our final authority. That brings us to our third point. Obey the truth. Knowledge without obedience produces spiritual pride. We even talked about this in our lesson. Knowledge puffs up, and knowledge without obedience produces spiritual pride. Jesus never praised people merely for understanding truth. He praised those who obeyed the truth. James 1 verse 22 writes, "Be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." The Apostle John is even more direct when he said in 1 John 2 verse 4, "He who says, 'I know him,' and does not keep his commandments, he is a liar, and the truth is not in him." Are you a Christian? Are you claiming to be one? Then we ought to keep his commandments. But you may say, I can't, they're too hard. No one asked you to keep them in your own strength. Not even God asked you that. All God asked you is to surrender your heart, and through His strength, you'll be able to do His will, including keeping His commandments. Why does John say this? Because genuine truth always produces genuine obedience. Obedience is not so that we can earn salvation. We are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. That is clear for us. But obedience is the evidence that Christ truly reigns as Lord in our lives. Jesus Himself said in John 14, 15, "If you love me, keep my commandments," which means that love is the motive, is the reason, is the foundation of our obedience. As Seventh-day Adventists, we cherish God's commandments, including the Sabbath. Not because we're trying to earn God's favor, but because we already have His favor through Christ. We obey because we love. We keep the Sabbath because we love our Creator. We care for our bodies because we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We return faithful tithes and offerings because everything belongs to God. We tell the truth because God is a God of truth. Truth that never changes our conduct has never really, truly touched our hearts, only our minds. Truth is never meant to be hidden. That's why we go to our last point, which is share the truth. Jesus said that you are the light of the world, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket. Truth exists to be shared. Light exists to be shared. Before ascending to heaven, Jesus commissioned his followers, you and I included, in Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20, where he said, "All power has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations." That is the great commission given to us. That means that once we have learned everything about God and we accepted his salvation, go and share it. Truth is meant to be shared. This commission belongs to all of us, not just pastors, not just leaders, not just evangelists, but every single member is a missionary. Every disciple is a witness. The three angels' messages of Revelation 14 reminds us that God has entrusted to this last day church with a worldwide message. We are called to proclaim the everlasting gospel to a dying world, to call people to worship the Creator, to invite them out of confusion into the biblical truth and a relationship with that truth, who is Jesus Christ, to prepare the world for the soon coming of Christ. But notice something important. People are often won to Christ long before they're won by our doctrines. Before you go out and tell people about the Sabbath, about the state of the dead, about the three angels' messages, tell them about the gospel. Tell them about Jesus. Why should they obey the Ten Commandments? Why should they follow Christ? And they see the gospel many times through your life. Many times the gospel is not shared with words. Many times the gospel is shared through your example. The greatest sermon many people will ever hear is the life of a faithful Christian. Are you that Christian? Jesus demonstrated that both truth and love without being harsh and without compromising. John tells us that he came full of grace and truth. We are called to do the same. People should hear the truth from our lips, yes, but they should see the truth in our character and our actions as well. They should experience truth in the way we treat them. The greatest sermon many people will ever hear is the life of a faithful Christian. Pilate asked, "What is truth?" Today the world is still asking the same question. The answer is found in Jesus Christ. He is the truth. His word is truth. His Holy Spirit leads us into truth. His church is called to proclaim the truth. The question for each of us is not merely, do I know the truth? The more searching question should be, am I a faithful steward of the truth God has entrusted to me? Am I guarding truth from error? Am I daily growing in my understanding of it by spending time with the truth, who is Jesus, and in his words? Am I obeying it from a surrendered heart that is coming out of a relationship of love with Christ? And am I sharing it with a world that desperately needs hope? One day, Jesus, the truth, will return in power and great glory. On that day, our greatest privilege will not be that we belonged to the right church, but that we belonged to the right Savior and faithfully followed Him as Lord. May it be said of each and every one of us that we were faithful stewards of His truth, eagerly waiting for the day when faith becomes sight and truth will stand face to face with us. That's my prayer for you. Amen.